bottom line with these issues, it does come down to what the people decide. How is it that you can say on the record that they have had fully informed consent when this is the nature of the exercise? First and foremost, where is their independent legal counsel? Does their independent legal counsel understand the depth and magnitude and implications of what's before these people so that they can properly advise? And my conclusion has unfortunately been that they're just, not only is there a lack of capacity in the average person having to make these important, not only lifetime decisions for themselves, but for their children and grandchildren, but in the very advisors on whom they have to rely, they don't have that capacity. And so for me, a huge, huge red flag goes up to say, how are we ever, never mind whether these things are good or bad, let's just take that as an aside for a moment, how are we ever going to actually have confidence in what is being done here when it's very easy to point out that people don't know what is being done here, and they don't know the implications, and it's impossible, and it's simply a fallacy, and it's simply a false image to suggest that they do. Because what has, I mean, if you look at me when I was in law school at Osgoode Hall in, early 80s, there was no such thing as Native law. There was no course on Aboriginal law. You're looking at an aspect of domestic law that's developed only since 1982 with the passing of the Constitution Act, the Charter. And it's a very short period of time, and this law has been developed not with the assistance of lawyers, and that's why I point such a harsh finger at it. These matters, they've had to tackle them fresh, and in tackling them, they've relied on attitudes and decisions and comments of judges going back many years before. And I think it's fairly trite to say that the attitudes towards Indigenous peoples at that time is not something that we need to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
So the foundations in term and the capacities and all that normally go into making good law, my conclusion is that it's been seriously absent here. And then it's been very premature, and you know, to expect to rely on these things and to end up with a Canada that is fair, equitable, all these things that we tend to pride ourselves in. Is this where we're going? And I've taken a very long, you know, good look at this, and my conclusion is no, that we're off to a bad start. It may be the practical viewpoint of many today. That's really what it comes down to. People say, well, this is the only practical thing to do. What else could we do?
Like expedient.
Exactly. You know, well, that ranks up there for me with, well, let's just, you know, assimilate them. That's pretty practical, too, you know. and Nazi Germany was very practical in their mindset. So that's not good enough. As a person of law, that's not good enough, and I don't think it's good enough for Canada or Canadians or the Indigenous peoples.
No, if you're going to build something that's going to last, you do it right.
Exactly. And the thing is that if there are, and if I am the sole voice initially in the little that's building, to say, wait a minute, let's take a look at this, and there seems to be something wrong here. And in fact, the very people that you are saying are asking for this, if you go and talk to them, you go on reserve, you meet them, you spend the time with them that I have, and you'll realize that no one's talking the same thing here. And at some point in time, you can't expect that to remain buried. At some point in time, some generation is going to realize what happened. And will that generation of Indigenous people simply say, oh, well, I guess that's okay? History shows that people don't tend to respond that way. You know, history shows that if too much of a wall is built up and it's not fair, that wall will be torn down some way, somehow. My hope is that, you know, we've only got, you know, half a foot of bricks up there so far. You know, it doesn't even have to be pushed over and pulled down. It can be looked at and said, look, what's the better foundation? Should we be moving forward on this, or is there another way to do it? And I don't have all the answers on that. I have some pretty good ideas, I think, and I have ways, I think, in terms of processes to start that, which truly leads to informed consent. And being informed goes on both sides of the equations. It's this fallacy that you know, the Canadian side, the government side, is fully knowledgeable and knows what to do. And you know, ultimately what they end up doing is throwing money at situations and putting a vast multitude of documents and legislation, et cetera, in place. But the effect of it and what it achieves in certainly the long term, in my conclusion, is just not practical at all. In fact, there'll be serious consequences, in my view, not just for Indigenous peoples, but Canada as a whole. And when people say, well, the only way to go are these sorts of things, my response to that is nobody has even thought about it. It's premature to be ramming this stuff down people's throats, to be wheeling and dealing and coercing in many, many incidences, coercing people into a path. It doesn't have to be done.
Into signing this kind of legislation, you mean?
Yes, exactly. You know, and the kinds of things you see. I've in all of the situations that I have looked at, there's not one situation where I can comfortably say the people involved were always, first of all, gave a mandate to their chiefs and councils to get involved in this in the first place and spend their assets and money and time and effort. And then continue through and really know what it's been about. You know how many phone calls I get from people saying, we're having a vote on something. We just heard about this, and I got this in the mail. Can you tell me what this is? That shouldn't be happening. You know, you always have people who don't have a lot of faith in law and in legal approach. Obviously, that's my focus in what I've said is the best way to go in these kinds of matters. But having said that, that doesn't mean running into court in terms of domestic Canadian courts. But what it does mean when faced in those situations is to say, is this legally binding? Now, in the short term, today, when these things are happening, it may be impossible for a handful of people to stop it. But what they can do is do what is necessary to put in place on the record formally the paper trail to say, you know what, they did these things, they said they meant this in law, they said this did this to us, and there is no way that that is legally possible. This did not happen. So it becomes a matter of saying, because what will happen ultimately is 50 years down the road, what took place that day, you know, in this part of the country, when, you know, Canada said they had this and did this and they passed this law. What, in fact, happened in law? That will have the consequences for the people to come. So there's very huge responsibility sometimes on a handful of people to simply say, and it's not a difficult task, to simply say the truth. What has transpired? You know, did you give mandates? Were you informed on this? Part of what I do is try to, when these situations come to my attention, is put on a formal record through a sort of a publication, internet, some sort of formal record, to show I myself, with my background and skill set, have looked at this fact pattern and conclude, if it's appropriate and if it is indeed the case, conclude that no, that did not happen. This in-law doesn't work. And there are some real fundamental problems that Canada constantly has. One, the power is still in the people.
All power to the people.
They ultimately hold the decision-making power until such time as they give it away. Now, they can do, federal government in concert with their federal agencies, you know, chiefs and councils, can make up all sorts of things and say they mean things. But in law, they will not, and they do not. So ultimately, people can look at this and be discouraged and say, well, what can I do? It's already done. Don't believe that for a moment, because these people are doing things, but will it have the intended effect that they want? Only if the people sort of say, okay, I guess I have to accept this. Acceptance is what achieves their results. But by saying in response, you know, this isn't right, this is what transpired, this is why it doesn't work in law, you can shout that, or you can simply say it, but do so in a way that doesn't set you up for being labeled or so that someone will say, oh, this person was not speaking for those he said he was. In other words, follow your local protocols. If you're a spokesperson for a family group, make sure you've done your homework and you've gathered the family together and you've presented the issues and said, what do we want to say about this? How do we respond to that? Or if the person is only able to respond on behalf of themselves, or themselves and child and spouse, then they need to be clear about that, so that they are indeed practicing what their laws are in terms of how decisions are made, what sorts of authorities exist, who can say what, when, for whom. Very important not to fall into sort of the Canadianized trap of saying, oh, I need a quorum of this, I need this many people, I need a majority. Don't need that. So individuals can play very, very important roles without being highly educated lawyers, without having huge pots of money. They single-handedly can defeat these sorts of efforts. They might not believe it yet. I try to empower them to tell them it is true. All you need is even one person putting on record the truth, and you need to believe in that over the long term, that is going to make a difference.